This is Steve Trollen from another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares the Board of Health meeting held on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. The meeting was held in the third floor training room with one Board of Health member remote and at least one public attendee participating remotely via the virtual Zoom conference bridge. Links to the meeting agenda and my notes are included in the show notes. The recording runs about 40 minutes. So let's listen to the Board of Health meeting of February 2nd, 2022.
Zoom application, as well as in person in town hall. Please note that this meeting may be recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything you broadcast may be captured by the recording. All supporting materials that have been provided to the Board of Health are available on the town's website unless otherwise noted. So we will now go to the first item on the agenda. Oh, I see. It says public hearing and there's a blank button below it, Kathleen, from last month's public hearing.
Right.
Okay. And that public hearing was related to the Title V amendments. Okay. I skipped right over the minutes. So reading and acceptance of our January 5th, 2022 meeting minutes, which we all received via email early last week. Jeff, any comments on those minutes?
No.
Do you make a motion?
I make a motion to accept.
All right. I second that. So we need to do a roll call vote. Jeff Harris, do you approve the minutes as presented?
Yes.
I also approve them as presented. So 2-0, and no vote for Tim. And then we'll go right down to the new business for the Winter Street update.
How about an update for claimed by the owner? So the asbestos abatement has been done. The demo permit has been, the application has, the building department waiting on the utility, letters from the
utility saying that gas and water electricity have been cut off.
Recording in progress.
So once we receive everything from the building department, we'll issue the demo permit.
I'm sorry, Kathleen, I just want to interrupt. It looks like Tim is present, so I'd like to go back briefly and hi, Tim.
Hi, everyone.
Cool. We already went over the minutes, but do you have any comments on the minutes from that we received last week?
I do not.
All right. So we sort of already voted, so let's go ahead and re-vote that since you're here. So is there a motion to accept the minutes?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All right, so all in favor? Jeff?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes, so that is all accounted for. Kathleen, you are not being heard because of the Zoom. So just can you put your volume up? I'll turn mine down and just go over real briefly the Winter Street update so that it's on the public record.
Sorry, everyone. Just moving lips over here. All right, take three, 27 Winter Street update. So the asbestos abatement has been done. The application for the demo has been submitted to the building department. The building department is waiting for a letter from the utility companies, gas, electric, and water, make sure everything's shut off. And once submitted, the demo permit will be issued. And I will hear from the owner next month as to when the demo will take place.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie.
Let me turn down.
You can actually, I'm going to stay off. I'll just yell louder than you.
So the next item on the agenda is Matt Tanish's grant regional inspector report.
you want to get close for that, Matt, so everyone can hear you?
Sure.
That's it.
For the month of January, I had two housing re-inspections, one of which has gained full compliance. The other has two outstanding issues, which I'm working between the tenant and the owner to get rectified. I had 17 biannual food inspections, one of which required a re-inspection, one complaint, general complaint food inspection, and had three miscellaneous inspections with those result of the housing task force and the attorney general's office, and also assisted with the COVID-19 youth clinic on January 19th.
Any questions for Tim or Jeff?
No.
Tim?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Our next update is through our public health nurse. Yeah, if you go there, please. Sorry. It's like musical chairs.
Hi. Hi, everyone. So just an update with communicable diseases. I'm still only doing, I have one active TB case with weekly Zooms and home visits still. Influenza, I ran a report in Maven on the 28th. We had 28 confirmed cases, two suspected throughout the day. Since then, I have had a few more come in. COVID-19, these numbers are also subject to change because unfortunately, sometimes they come in a little late. Total cases from the 1st to the 22nd, total 1,501, 1,329 of those were from PCR and 172 were from rapid. And then from the beginning of the pandemic, I went all the way back to February 1st of 2020 until January 22nd of this year. Total cases, 5,821. Confirmed were 4,908, and probable with the rapid test, 913. Still 59 deaths in the town of Franklin. The COVID vaccine clinic, we're still doing our youth clinic for ages 5 to 11. We vaccinated 61 children on the 19th, and we're having a second Pfizer vaccine for the children ages 5 to 11 on the 9th. Anyone can come for a first or second dose. I'm also still working at Central Park Terrace. I was actually there earlier today doing blood pressure and glucose testing for them. And we're starting to start some educational programs going over blood pressure, lowering salt intake. And currently we're enrolling in a state vaccine program. So this will help us get state supplied vaccines. Any child under the age of 19, we can get vaccines too. We're going to be focusing on flu. And for adults, you can only get certain ones, but you have to be uninsured, so that'll be good for certain people of the population who may need that. And then the following page, just to give you guys a little bit more of a demographic, just because COVID is obviously still prevalent, shows the weeks all the way from November up until January 22nd of how many cases we've had each week that are reported in Maven. These are not home tests. These are the ones like from your CVS, from your Project Beacon, going to urgent cares, doctor's office. Those are the ones going into the system, just so you can see the peak that happened, especially in the beginning of January, and slowly we're going back down again, which is great.
Thank you.
Want me to
hold on, don't move yet. Sam, any questions?
No, thank you.
Did you hear that?
Yes, yeah, we heard it.
Any questions?
No, good, thank you.
Thank you.
See you.
The next item on the agenda is the grant, the epidemiologist hiring report.
Hiring report? Why'd I put that?
That's your hiring report.
That's my hiring report.
I'm Cass Montero, the new epidemiologist with the Metacomet Public Health Alliance. So I've been here for a few weeks, and one of the biggest things I've been working on is a dashboard for Franklin, as well for Norfolk and Rentham. So I'll be updating weekly on Franklin's website with COVID-19 cases, vaccinations, and deaths, including graphs and demographics of age, race, and gender. I've also helped in the COVID-19 vaccination clinic, kind of set up and direct people where to go. As Alicia said, it was 61 children ages 5 to 11, and the next clinic is on February 9th. So we're still kind of waiting on at-home tests. I know Kathleen knows a little bit more about that than I do, but we'll be working together to possibly get those out soon. Been also tracking COVID-19 hospitalizations, so those we track per month. There's been 24 hospitalizations at Milford Hospital for Franklin residents in January. I'm also in the process of creating a story map, so analyzing the data from analyzing COVID-19 data from the dashboard to find patterns and explain what the data means for Franklin residents to read, and that'll eventually be posted on the Franklin's Board of Health website. And then alongside Alicia and Karen, been calling COVID-19 cases under 18 over 60 to go over guidelines about isolation, quarantine, answering questions anyone might have about that. Okay.
Excellent, thanks.
Jen, any questions?
No questions, thank you.
No questions.
Thank you so much, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Like I said, we're in a better town of three, don't forget that.
Did I sent an invite to look at the dashboard, right?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure you look at the dashboard because she's done a phenomenal job with it. So very much needed.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. Next item, testing kit update.
Yeah. So you know, DPH sent us the vendors that they use so that we could contract with them at a reduced rate for our at-home kits. So we found a vendor that was very reasonably priced, and it was $9.99 a kit of two tests, which is significantly less than the other vendors. But as of yesterday, they would not give us a delivery date. And so it's been approximately 4 weeks since we've ordered. So procurement canceled that order, and now I'm searching for another vendor, but most of the prices are $24, $25, $26.95 for a kit. We have not had many calls regarding kits since DPH put out that information about getting it through the post office. You can opt in and get four kits per family. So I don't know what's happening, but I do know that if and when we do get them, that I'll be working with Casilla to get that information out to the residents. We'll probably be doing, what if we decide, one kit per one family member, right? So just that's a stay tuned. I was really hoping we'd have them, but we don't. And it's a lot of money when, you know, compared to $9.99 a kit, you know, to go $25, $26.99. I only have so much money, so it's really, I would only be getting minimum amount versus three cases, you know. So anyways, I'll just keep you abreast of that.
Because you already found another vendor?
One vendor is going to be calling me tomorrow, and there's a new kit coming out, Flow something. It's not the iHealth, and so it's a brand new kit, same specifications, and could possibly be lower.
And if you order through the Metacomet and all three towns order together, will the price go down, or is there no minimum? Does it matter if one price per kit regardless?
Well, no, I mean, there's pallets that could be ordered.
But if you order more, though, do you get a reduction in price? Like, if you were to partner with the other towns in the alliance, will it go from $24.99 per kit to $17.99?
Only maybe one or two vendors, but we're talking like pallets of like 15,000 or something like that. So, but you know, I'll look into that a little bit deeper, though, Bridget.
Kathleen, have you ever tried? I know people in my family have gone to CVS. I don't know if you talked to them about buying bulk from.
They
wouldn't, because it's, you can go in there and buy these tests.
Yeah, for the same amount, for no, 25, right?
They said
nine.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they're readily available.
Yeah.
But a lot of the retailers have a limit. They won't let you buy 15.
Yeah.
So towns are having a hard time partnering with the retailer because they're not going to give us 500 when there are people talking to bits, buy them for $19.99.
Yeah.
Just put it out there, people, to let people know they can go to the stores and get them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they were like $9.
Yeah, and now I think insurance is reimbursing now, which is good. But still, I'd like to, as the Board of Health, I'd like to be able to give the residents kits, you know, but it just makes sense. But it's not as easy as it sounded.
Sounds
good. Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Capital, apparently that's not Habitable Housing Task Force update.
Yeah, so I told you about this task force, right? Did I tell you guys about this before? No. Okay, so it's brand new. So there was an issue with a property on Union Street about a month or two ago, and building and fire were dealing with it. We all met together to discuss how the health department would fit in with this type of property. It was kind of just a mess. It was a nightmare of clutter and the heater was broken, and it was just a mess. And so because I've worked with Housing Task Force in my other towns, I understood that the three of us could come together and make an impact. And plus also working with the Attorney General's office on the Abandoned Housing Initiative. So we all came together, and Matt's included in this as well. When I say all, police, fire, health, and building, we identified three properties that had been abandoned for a while or have burned. And so an inspection took place with the Attorney General's office, health department, building, fire. We sent out order to correct letters from the health department. We met again today. One of the properties, 84 Papalatic, is already for sale and on an agreement. So there was a flurry of excitement when all the city town officials showed up. Another property that burned is going to be a difficult property that we're working on. And what was the other one? Oh, West Central. So that's going to be a perfect candidate for a receivership through the Attorney General's office and the housing court. But I just wanted to bring it up, not so much to call out the addresses, but just so you know that we're working in a different direction with housing. In my past towns, I've had multiple success stories through the Attorney General's office, through the Abandoned Housing Initiative, and by working with my colleagues in other departments. So I just, it's a kind of a really good feel story for a change that doesn't have COVID attached to it. So I just wanted to let you know we're and then we have another property we're going to see, probably next week. Yeah. So that's just a cool update. I just wanted to let you guys know what we're working on.
Fair enough. Thank you. Yeah. Tim, any questions?
No, thanks everyone for all the hard work. Too bad on those testing kits, Kathleen, but thanks for keeping us updated.
Yeah, I'll update you. Yeah.
I just like yelling Jim's name across the.
I know.
I feel like I'm yelling at my kid down at Georgia. Any questions?
Not for me.
All right. So that concludes all the items on the agenda for the board members. Is there anything else you want to discuss before I go to the commentary?
No, thank you.
Thank you. All right. We have a bunch of people here, not a lot of time. So, do you want to do Zoom first or people here first?
People here first, because, and I apologize, I'm not sure why you're all here, but we're going to find out in a minute.
But we're going to have to set a timer. I'm going to say 2 minutes per person, and we have to sit with it. So anyways, who would like to go first?
Okay. Come on, you can go all the way down to hear them. No one will hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so you have to state your name and your address, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Right here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's right here. No, right
okay,
there.
Okay, perfect.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of.
You stand outside, please.
So Megan Benson, and it's 19 Winthrop Drive. So I'm here because of the last meeting when there was another resident who brought up the idea or the suggestion rather of the Franklin Board of Health implementing a townwide mask mandate, and I know. It was cited that there would be difficulty with enforcing of that type of mandate. But I also, you know, was a little bit surprised by the only difficulty or the only reason cited was basically the enforcement part of it and not all of the other implications that would come along with a mask mandate. So I just wanted to take time tonight just to quickly, you know, rattle off a few different implications of that. So the first is the fact that I think it would go against the town of Franklin. By and large, people here believe in choice and the freedom to make choices, especially when it comes to health. If there's anything I've learned in the past 2 years, I really do think it's that. And not only to make the choice, you know, for themselves, but for their family and for their children, and a mask mandate takes away that choice. I also think it's important to note that the Franklin Board of Health has followed the Mass Department of Health guidance this entire time. So since the beginning of the pandemic, you know, you've diligently followed it. I think it would make not, it wouldn't make sense right now to sway from that. You know, especially now where we are during this pandemic. The other thing I would worry about with a mask mandate townwide would be the local businesses. So many of them, you know, fortunately were able to weather this storm, but there was also, you know, several that, you know, had to close their doors either temporarily or permanently, and then other ones who still, you know, are weathering it to some extent. And I think a mask mandate, not only would it be hard to enforce, but I think it would really put, you know, more of a strain on these businesses that this is the last thing they need. And if we want Franklin to succeed and prosper and, you know, be, you know, successful, I think that we need to think of that. And then my last thing that I'll touch on, just because I know I'm running out of time, is the idea that this mask mandate, what it does really is instill more fear. It's a sense of fear. People, you know, especially now, we don't need that. People have lived in that state of heightened fear now for 2 years. And I think it does it to adults, it does it to children. Just the mask itself, if you're telling somebody they need that, that makes them more fearful. And at this point, it's just unnecessary. We don't need to add any more strain on people's mental health. So,
Megan, thanks so much.
Appreciate
your kind words.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for listening and being respectful. We appreciate that.
Oh, my gosh, of course. And we're so sorry we have to give a time limit. There is a 6 o'clock meeting in here. That's why. It's not that we don't want to hear. It's just we definitely have a crunch. So is he ready?
Kevin DiCrescenzo, $51. So first of all, I'm frustrated a little bit, too. So I hope I don't take that on anyone here. A lot of it's directed towards the school committee, not you guys. But it's more about the lack of transparency that we're having. That's the frustration. Everything I feel for my kids. And that's what I'm trying to save right now. Over the past year or so, we've been talking about getting choice with masks, not have mandates. And over the past year or so, you know, we're quite frankly, our voices aren't being heard. We're being ignored. Quite frankly, we can't even say, no one can ever even describe to us why there are mask mandates. Like we're asking for data. We're asking for the studies. We're asking to cite something. We don't get it. All we hear is, this is guidance. We're just following orders. That's all we ever hear. The closest thing that we came to is getting the Swiss cheese model at the school board committee, where these masks, or they admitted, saying, yes, we know they don't work, but we're going to do our best, and we're using the Swiss cheese model. The Swiss cheese model will not be any scientific journals anytime soon. Now, us parents right now, we have all different reasons of why we don't want the mandates. There's so many out there. Some people don't think that they work. I mean, every single one of our masks, they have microscopic holes in it. The virus, as we all know, turns into aerosol particles, smaller than those tiny holes. They can travel up to 30 feet. Some people think that the masks cause harm. The virus, bacteria, parasites grow on these masks. There's been analysis done on this before that's happening. So we have these biomes just sitting and living and breathing on our masks. We just need to just watch out for that. There's also unintended consequences that I think we all need to know. And I hope this board really takes this seriously too. IQs are dropping on children. There's delayed speech for children. Children have anxiety. They have depression. They've got loneliness. They can't see their friends' faces, their teachers' faces. I hope people really study that. And then as far as this board goes too, I hope you guys respect the choice that people have. I'll be very quick. Because where does it end? I mean, we're going to start scrutinizing people's shopping habits, their exercise habits. So just to make it kind of clear what I'm hoping that this board does, no mask mandates, make it clear to the town that you're not going to do that, and define an exit strategy at some point, because people are living in fear right now. So
thank you.
Can I say one more thing, too?
I'm sorry.
I'll walk in.
Okay.
So, I wasn't going to plan on the vaccines, but I'm hoping that you guys are looking at the mayor's data. I hope you guys are looking at the Department of Defense, that whistleblower that talked about all the things that just came out recently about the military, about all the adverse reactions on there too. So I hope you guys can take a look into that and kind of consider that. If you need more information on that, I'd be more than happy to share with you.
Hi. My name is Dasha Videra. If no one knows me, I ran for school committee here in town. I ran on a platform of choice and freedom for parents. And the reason why I'm here tonight is to piggyback up on Megan and on Kevin. I have a vaccine injured child. I was fully committed to staying course to the schedule. And then unfortunately, our family had different results that kind of got us to open up our eyes a little bit more. Over the last year, I've been working with a top-notch orthodontist and the only ENT that works is allowed to operate on children in the state of Massachusetts. We have an epidemic of mouth breathers, where children literally have the inability to breathe as is. With that said, it's also linked to mental health issues. If Franklin cares so much about mental health, then we need to start asking better questions. I think it's wonderful that we're tracking COVID results and influenza. It's honestly irrelevant. What we need to start tracking is OCD, ODD, ADHD, anxiety. The children, it's rising, whether we like it or not. We don't have a solution in any way, shape, or form. So the way that I have actually showcased this in my own family's health records, I have come to the conclusion that our family is actually genetically mutated with MTHFR, which prohibits our bodies from detoxing. With that said, my family bloodline has a history of mitochondrial disease. If I was to vaccinate my children, and if the town of Franklin was in favor of forcing mandates around vaccines and or masks, you are 100% putting my children at risk. With that said, I made sure to actually show all of our antibody tests to actually prove that we are totally fine, and I am standing here today, mask-free, with antibodies, which is apparently what the vaccine is supposed to do, which is actually proving some other things. I think it's wonderful that we are actually tracking these things because you're actually able to see the evidence that with a high, 79%, I think it was just posted in the town of Franklin for a vaccination rate, for some reason, COVID is on the rise. So, we need, again, to start asking some better questions. So for your records, I am leaving these here with the Department of Public Health. So then that
we
way
don't need them. We really don't.
Okay.
If you want to leave them, it makes you feel better, but we don't review anyone's vaccination status and antibody status.
Well, I know that Senator Becker Roche, actually, in one of her plans, is part of doing that, where she actually is looking for a universal process, and that way every single town is going through the Department of Public Health. So since that's what you guys are doing, I'm actually being proactive and being transparent and actually giving you these documentations in advance, because this is where the future is going if we choose to abide by her. And considering the fact that the Franklin School Committee and Town Council has now backed her, I'm here to say I thank you for saying that, but in the process, it's actually contradictory to what you're saying, so I'm being proactive when stepping
in. It isn't, because we're a sub-worker that's nonpartisan. So unless the state mandates us to adopt those state rules,
I know.
Health doesn't have to.
I hear that, but considering the fact that Senator Becca Roche and Jeffrey Roy claim that they're nonpartisan and then back certain people on who they want to win, and then all those people won. And again, I'm talking about the exact same thing that I talked about when I was trying to do running for school committee, and was far from heard from the people on political offices, like in regards to parents and being solid with documentation and knowing the bills that are in the pipeline. I'm here to say, here you go. I'm being as transparent as possible.
Staff and the artists can file them. I don't want
okay.
The most personal records.
That's okay.
And just as you're walking in, we have someone else coming. Just keep in mind that the Board of Health is a separate entity from the politics that are out there. They're their own board. Just so you know that. And
okay.
I'm actually going to shred these, so you sure you don't want to keep them?
I have plenty of records.
Sure.
Yes, I used to work in HR.
Okay.
So
Hi. What's
my name?
Is Brian Morehouse, 15 October Drive, Franklin.
Nice.
Just a quick follow-up on that. So we've also been told that the school committee is supposed to be apolitical, which means they don't follow a certain political side, and unfortunately, they all just endorse Rebecca Roush, who is a Democrat, every single one of them. So we hear what you're saying, but we're getting contradictory information on the other side when we're being told they're not political.
No,
so,
the Board of Health is not political.
But we were also told the school committee cannot be political either.
Or anybody,
yeah.
So it's just related to the Board of Health.
Right,
I don't think
yeah.
We ever had a meeting that was ever political in any stance.
No.
Okay. Great. Well, that's exactly what I hear, because we're hearing other things, contradictory things from the other side.
Oh, yes.
So I just want to make that clear.
Thank you.
And maybe
also remember that what DESE directs the school to do. We can't overrule the DESE public health protocol. So DESE says the schools have to mask until a certain threshold is met. We can't ever overrule that.
Okay, and when I keep being told, and I just told this the other day, that since DESE might be putting on local level, I keep being told by the school committee members and the administrators that they get all their information from you. That is what I've been told. I'm putting that on the record. I'm letting you know that they are telling you this.
To change exit strategies and to give them policy, but that conversation hasn't happened yet because we're not there.
Okay, I'm hearing differently. I'll put that even on the record. I'm here, I'm telling you that I'm hearing that they are being told by you guys.
Can we get them the report?
Okay. I'm hearing a lot of contradictory information that's getting concerning. So I will go into something else that's concerning. My son, after 2 years, got the close contact email last week. Unfortunately, it was very discriminatory because it states that if you're unvaccinated, you don't have to do any of the testing, none of the quarantine. But if you're vaccinated, you have to do that. If you're unvaccinated, you have to go through all the testing, all the quarantine. Now, I was actually a little embarrassed for Franklin because I always thought we were up to date on things. Unfortunately, we should all know by the last few months of research, we all know, unfortunately, if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, you can still pass along COVID-19. That is a fact. That is not misinformation. So we should be updating.
We can't change those protocols because that's something that comes down to state level. So that's the directive.
And again, I was told that they get their information from you and those decisions are made off of that. So I do want to let you know that that was very discriminatory and upsetting. Because some kids can't actually get vaccinated. My kids are have EpiPen, severely allergic.
So that's coming from the school, keep in mind, not the Board of Health.
But the school's telling me they're getting their oversight and all the decisions that they make from a health perspective from you guys.
Right.
That's what I'm being told.
The guidance states that after the shortened quarantine has changed, and then it says that after day 5, you no longer have to quarantine if you've been vaccinated. That is not a local decision. That's a state decision that we still have. There are certain things, like the challenge of the local Board of Health is that we only have so much authority. We take certain rules that we have to follow from the state, and then we can always be more restrictive, but we can't be less restrictive.
But it said that the vaccinated kids didn't have to do any of that. They had no quarantine and
right,
no testing.
That's the current guidance under DESE DH, correct.
I guess they're discriminatory. I've talked to DESE too, just so So last thing, because we've had a lot of back and forth, I do just want to quickly say that cases have considerably dropped in Massachusetts, down 65%. We need to look at local data, obviously, also that has completely dropped. I think we had 11 cases or something last we looked at, was it 11? But obviously we need to start with a month. DESE ends a month from now, and we hope that you're gonna be helpful with looking at all the emotional, social, developmental, and physical problems. My kids have had rhinitis for 2 years. I'm sick of giving them Flonase, which is damaging, and dry eye. Yes, we've had lovely conversations. You're one of them. And I know my time's up, but I'm also going to tell you, please talk to the dentist because the cavities with kids now are through the roof, and adults too. I just want to put that out there.
Thank you. That's interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good? All right.
Online?
Can you, I don't know, can you do that? Want me to ask? If you are online and you have a comment, can you please raise your hand on the Zoom feature? And I apologize, everyone in the room, as I yell.
I can say something. Anyone?
Do you hear anybody?
I don't see any hands.
Anyone?
Tim, can you hear us? Okay. All right. So everyone else can hear us. Okay. Anyone have a comment?
Okay. So if we don't see hands raised, I know we have a short period of time, but I just want to say I appreciate you guys all coming, but it is important to be heard. And I think that last month when the question was brought up, the enforcement was the easiest answer at that time because I was expecting it. Tim, Jeff, Kathleen, and I all talked, and I personally, when I wear a mask, you know, it makes me feel better, and I wear a mask at work, and it is what it is. But at this moment in time, when I go to Big Y, 85% of people have masks.
I don't understand. I personally, again, me speaking personally as a board health member, I don't think a mandate is going to change that voluntary policy. And I think it creates unnecessary friction for businesses that you brought up. I don't want a 16-year-old girl working at Dunkin' Donuts to have to tell someone that they're a mask. I don't think it's fair. And we also know that those interactions are fairly short, a little bit shorter. So personally, I think that right now with the data we have, with the state not creating a mask mandate, I don't think it's our place to do so. And I'll defer to my colleagues in a moment. But I think it's important that masks do work. Masks do have a place. They do work. But it's also personal responsibility. When I go out in public, I'll wear the mask. And people who are concerned will also wear a mask. And that will protect everyone. I don't think we should have a mandate to, at this point, to basically wear a mask. Jeff.
I
want to
thank you for
coming. You got to talk louder because you're not by the board. Okay. I yell.
I want to thank everybody for saying what you had to say. I agree 100% with a lot of your concerns. I got grandchildren that are in school, and I have the same concerns about mandates. I don't think mandates work. That's just my feeling.
Tim! I'm just like yelling, Tim.
I'm glad you enjoy this, Bridget. That's.
I know. Sorry.
I just want to. This level of community engagement is so important to the work that the board does, and the work that our staff does. I'm truly grateful that we have people engaged and involved. It's really important for us to hear that type of commitment from our neighbors and. To hear the different sides of every type of decision that the board is involved in. And we're grateful for this type of involvement. We truly are. I am like Bridget. I wear my mask when I'm out in public. I have little kids who can't be vaccinated, and it's important to me that I get to make that decision as well, whether I wear one or not. Which I think speaks to the actions that the board has taken in the last month in this area. And with the continued support of our incredible staff and our neighbors, I think we'll continue to do the work that we need to do to ensure that Franklin stays safe and stays healthy and stays happy. But thank you again to everyone who attended and who shared opinions, and thank you very much to my fellow board members and our staff. I'm forever grateful that I get to be a part of this process. It's truly special. So thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Any staff have any comments?
No, I just want to, I'm Kathleen, I'm the health director. I probably have spoke to all of you at some point. And so I'm glad that, you know, you're here and that you care enough to come to the board and speak your piece and tell us how you feel. I think through this whole pandemic, if there's one thing that has been a positive spin for me is to talk to moms that have concerns about their children and hear what they have to say. And I feel like I have been a big part of what you've all been going through. And so I truly, truly thank you for, you know, for your comments. Why am I getting emotional? It's been a long 2 years.
I'm not getting emotional, but truly, as I said, I've spoken to probably all of you more than one time, along with the rest of the town of Franklin. But it's really given me great joy. So. If that makes any sense. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. So, yes, thank you. I know that this has been challenging from the department staff piece as well. And we do appreciate that, all the work you guys are doing. It is greatly appreciated, COVID and not COVID stuff. So the habitable housing thing is great. You guys are doing great things regardless. But, all right, is there any other discussion or a motion to adjourn before we get kicked out in 7 minutes?
No.
Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All right, I'm going to go to Tim first. Like, yell, Tim. Roll call vote. Tim!
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. Thank you very much, everyone. Happy night.
Bye, everyone.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.